Welcome to What's the Word? Okay, Michelle, what's our first word for 2019?
Well, Rusty, we could go with toxic, the Oxford Dictionary's word for the year for 2018.
All right, toxic. Let's go with that.
Well, hold on. One of the most significant non-toxic social justice campaigns in 2018 was the resurgence of Tarana Burke's Me Too movement, whose goal is to offer support for victims of sexual harassment and assault. Supporters began using the online hashtags MeToo and BelieveWomen to draw attention to the way that women are often silenced or blamed for speaking out. So I think we should take a closer look at the word woman.
Woman. Okay. I'm on board. But what's so unique about that word?
Well, don't you think it's a bit odd that English has so few words that refer to women that aren't in some way related to men?
What? Well, there's female. Oh, mm-hmm. I see. Yeah. Female. Is fee a prefix in front of the root word male?
The origin of the word female is the Latin word femina, meaning woman, while the Latin word for man is vir. So while the words male and female are not linked etymologically, the spelling of femina was changed in the 14th century in order to associate the idea of the female with the male.
Okay, all right, so that makes sense for female, but woman doesn't sound like male.
Doesn't it?
Oh. Woe, mm-hmm. Man. Okay. But is woe a prefix?
Some people might think so, given the comments in the Hebrew Bible's book of Genesis. There, the Hebrew for man is ish, and woman is isha, because Eve was taken out of the man's side, and as such is connected to him. So you might think that woe is similarly a prefix, meaning out of man. Here, listen for yourself.
This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man.
The King James Version of the Bible had a huge influence on the English language, but I think as a matter of fact that the woe in woman is from the Old English word for wife, withman, which as you hear is still related to man.
Oh, okay, but I think I got you on this one. What about girl?
Mm.
Girl is very different from the words man and boy, right?
Well, kind of.
Kind of?
Yeah, kind of. Between the 13th and the 16th centuries, the word girl could be applied to either gender. Any young person could be called a girl.
So I could call a boy a girl and call a girl, and no one would be confused?
Uh-huh. In order to avoid confusion, people would sometimes attach descriptive adjectives to the word girl. So a young boy could be called a knave girl, and a young girl could be called a gay girl.
Oh, man. This really helps explain some of the history of gender relations where mm-hmm. women were imagined as little more than incomplete or inferior males.
Oh, yeah. Did you know that Aristotle actually defines woman as a male deformed? And that more than 15 centuries later, the medieval philosopher Thomas Aquinas is still committed to that view? You see, the ancients thought that men contributed all of the information and reproduction, and that women only contributed the raw material. So if reproduction went perfectly, the baby would always be a boy.
Mm.
And even though our scientific knowledge has improved over time, similar attitudes about women persist today. That's why Simone de Beauvoir famously describes woman as the second sex. She says that woman is determined and differentiated in relation to man. He is the subject. She is the other. And before you dismiss her views as extreme, ask yourself why mankind is he. A unisex shirt is identical to a man's shirt, and why little girls read Harry Potter, but very few parents give their sons Nancy Drew.
Hmm. I guess we still have a long way to go before our language reflects women's autonomy.
Yes, yes, we do. From Murray State University's Department of English and Philosophy, I'm Dr. Michelle Ponchuk.
And I'm Dr. Rusty Jones. And remember, use your words, whether you're a knave girl or a gay girl.